Hey guys, it's Erin Andrews from Calm Down with Erin and Carissa. So they say you can't plan for the unexpected, but whoever said that obviously didn't know about Aflac. You probably know the Aflac Duck, but you might not know what Aflac can do for you. For example, did you know they pay cash that can help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover? If you get sick or injured, Aflac pays cash that can be put towards copays and deductibles to even non-medical expenses like rent or your mortgage payments. It's completely up to you. Get help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover. Visit Aflac.com to learn more.
Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item. Current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Thirty days of Beyond the Grid hits double figures. It's day 10. And as it's Wednesday, we have a full-length episode from our archive. This season, car number 10 will be an Alpine. Pierre Gasly is joining Esteban Ocon in an all-French driver lineup. If you're a Gasly fan, you should be excited. Alpine finished fourth in the Constructors' Championship last year. Yes, they were a long way behind the top three of Red Bull, Ferrari and Mercedes, but they look quick. And if this year's car is a bit better, Pierre could find himself back on the podium. The interview you're about to hear was recorded at the end of 2018, when Pierre was just about to be promoted from Red Bull's sister team to Red Bull itself as teammate to Max Verstappen. He talks about his rise to Formula One, his rivalry with Verstappen, his family, his love of football, and lots more. I hope you enjoy this gem from the Beyond the Grid archive.
Pierre, welcome to Beyond the Grid. It's great to have you with us. You've been a Formula One driver for pretty much 12 months now.
Exactly. I think it's a one-year anniversary now. Started in Malaysia last year.
A lot's happened.
A lot's happened in the last 12 months for me. It's been an amazing year, the best so far in my career, and I've never felt as happy as I am now. So yeah, pretty crazy, intensive, but amazing last few months.
You know how as a kid you have all these hopes and ambitions of I want to get to Formula One. Has it lived up to expectations so far? Just Formula One, everything about it?
I will say clearly and almost even better than I thought. Of course, when I was a dream, my family was involved in motorsport, but first of all, they were big fans and passionate about Formula One. So since I am born every weekend, my family on the Sunday, we had the family dinner, family lunch, and with the TV on watching the races. So since really little, I started to watch F1. And yeah, I dreamt about it straight away. You know, I was every weekend Michael Schumacher on the top step spraying champagne. And I told my parents, you know what, I want to be like these guys. So yeah, it was a big dream. And yeah, to see where I am now compared to a couple of years ago, it wasn't so long time ago, is pretty pretty crazy. And yeah, it feels mega.
And have you got used to the idea of being a Red Bull racing driver next year?
not really, because of course it's something amazing, and I know next year is going to be a fantastic season, fantastic opportunity for myself, and of course it's massive, you know, for me. Of course, when I joined Red Bull in 2013, was my target. Long-term target to join Red Bull Racing, but when I came in Formula One 12 months ago, I didn't expect or I didn't think that I will be in that position today, even though that's what I targeted and that's what I dreamt about, but I didn't expect it to come so quickly, and yeah, I'm just super excited about that challenge.
So when you heard Daniel's news, Ricardo going to Renault, leaving Red Bull Racing, were you straight on the telephone to help Marco? How did it work?
Actually, yeah. So Helmut was straight on the phone when he got the news
from
Daniel.
He rang you or you rang him?
He rang me. So just before the news was out, and he told me, okay, just to let you know, Daniel is out. And at that time, honestly, I was shocked because I didn't expect it, didn't believe it in a way. So at the beginning, I actually saw that he was a bit taking the piss out of me. And really quickly, I understood he was serious. So, of course, yeah, my first thought was like, oh, okay, then there might be an opportunity. And he just told me, okay, enjoy the break, take it easy, and I will call you back to let you know our decision in the next couple of days or weeks.
Did he give you any indication at all?
Nothing. He just told me, take it easy, enjoy your break, and I'll call you back. And yeah, I mean, of course, you know, you're in summer, you try to disconnect, but it's impossible knowing that there is an available seat in the top team. So I've tried to think about something else, just enjoy my time. But of course, every day I was thinking, okay, what are they going to do? What are the options? And I think it was a pretty tight fight between Carlos and myself, even if potentially there were other candidates. And yeah, it just rang me 2 weeks later to tell me they decided to take me for 2019. So was clearly the best news of my career so far. But actually it was a bit funny. We were speaking with Max as well. So Max was giving me a bit of insights
during that two weeks
and just giving me some fresh news when he got some. So was of course a long 10 days, 2 weeks. And when I got the phone call from Helmut, I knew it was either positive or negative. And finally, yeah, he just told me, okay, Pierre, you're going to be a Red Bull driver in 2019. So keep pushing and prepare yourself the best way possible to have a great season with us next year.
Do you think Max was batting for you? Was he pushing for you to join him, do you think?
For sure, we have like great relationship with Max. We know things a lot of time. We raced together in karting and we had a lot of battles. And I think, of course, today we've got a really strong relationship and friendly in a way. So we've got a lot of respect and yeah, we should ask him. But I think for sure it wasn't again the fact that I will be his teammate. That's clear. But then after, for more details, I think the best one to answer will be himself.
Do you think there was one performance that stood out and sort of got you the? Do you think Bahrain, for example, that fourth place, was that the thing that clinched it for you?
I think Bahrain was really good to show that I'm able to deliver the best performance of the car and to really make the best out of the package we give me. So it was my second race this year for my first full complete season and was great to show that I'm able to handle the pressure and go until the end. And even for myself, I think it was the best way to start the season in Formula One. So I think this was positive. Monaco, first Monaco GP, and going into Q3 and finish in seventh position was great. And just before the break, to finish on in sixth position in Budapest, best of the rest, I think was clearly something positive and probably helped the final decision that Red Bull have taken.
Talk to me about Honda, because do you think you'll have an advantage having raced with Honda throughout this year?
To be fair, in terms of driving, I know a lot of people talk about it, but at such a level, I think, you know, Max after 5, maximum 6 laps will get used to it. In terms of feeling, you know, the response you get inside the car, the way you, the drivability, all the things, when you're such a driver in Formula One, you don't need much time to get used to that feeling. So I think it's more the way that I've learned how to communicate, how to work with them, with a different culture. Japanese are really different than the culture in Europe, and the way they work, the way they behave, the way they communicate is slightly different, and you need to get used to it. So I think this is clearly an advantage. After, inside the car, purely in terms of driving, I don't expect him to take more than 5 or 6 laps to get used to it.
I wasn't actually talking about the performance side of it. I think you hit the nail on the head. Honda have a history of just doing things a bit differently, don't they? And I mean, Fernando Alonso, I think he's proven that you can't take them head on like that. You've got to work with them, haven't you? And is that something you learned in Super Formula?
Exactly.
And of course this year as well.
Yeah, and for me Super Formula in the end was a great year. First on the, of course, on the sports side. I mean, the series itself was mega, but also on the personal side, just as a person, I've learned a lot about their culture. They have a lot of respect, and you really need to understand it when you work with Japanese. It's all about respect. So you can't tell them they do something bad or they do something in the wrong way. You need to really be explain it and find a way and lead them where you want them to go. But you can't be as straightforward as you can be, for example, in Europe with English, French or Italian. You really need to be objective with them and find a nice way to tell them things. So for sure, when you go head to head with them, usually it turns out in a pretty bad way.
How long did it take you? That's pretty smart of you, Pierre. How long did it take you to work that out? Because I look at your Super Formula season, started quite slow, and then bam, something happened. Is that coincide with you working out how to get the best out of it?
Probably a little bit, because for sure I've learned it through the season. I will say it was more about the car, getting the learning how to set it up properly for myself. It was a pretty big change compared to GP2. But clearly, I've read books before. You know, the first time I went in Japan, I went in a country 10,000 kilometers away from my home by myself. And I was going to meet people that I had no idea who they were, and was completely like a new life for me. So was a lot of new things to learn. And I've read books about Japanese culture. For Christmas, my family bought me like tons of Japanese things just to learn about the culture and get used to it. And that's one point I understood. But of course, through the season, I've changed my way of working with them, and less vocal thing, but more like writing things on paper just to make sure that we understood the same informations, and drawing thing, for example, because of course in Japan, in Super Formula, and we were probably 30 in my team, my race engineer was the only one who could communicate with me. And then after, I had a translator to speak with other people inside the team, which makes it really tough, because we had meetings with team manager, engineers, 5-6 people, all in Japanese, with a translator translating things to myself, me answering in English, and the guy had to translate, but like technical feedback. So really tricky to make sure that everyone understood the same information. So in the end, I was writing everything on paper just to make sure we was clear between us. And I understood that was better to repeat things 2, 3, 4 times, even if they will say yes. It's a country and they have a culture where they can't get into conflicts. So they will never say no to you. So even if they disagree, they'll always say yes. But you need to understand with body language when it's a true yes, or when it's a yes, but they don't really agree with you, or they didn't really get the information you're trying to give them. So all the things I've learned it with a week spending time there and just learning about how they behave and how they work. Yeah.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliances. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Did you feel very isolated when you were in Japan?
So, yeah, I had...
Homesick?
Not really, because in the end, I've enjoyed it so much, you know, like just in terms of everything. It's so clean. People were welcome me in the best possible way. Try to make my life as easy as possible, because it was a big change. And in the end, I've really enjoyed my time there. I had one of my best friends who studied in Japan at the same time, so I was kind of hanging out with him, and in the end, the people, I really built a strong relationship with the people and inside the team, and the people I worked with Red Bull Japan as well, that actually my last race when I left, and was a pretty tough last one because it was cancelled due to the typhoon and lost the title for half a point. So it was probably the most difficult thing to swallow of the season. But I was actually pretty sad to leave them. And after all the things they have done to me to make my move as easiest as possible, I really felt like when I had to leave that it was a pretty difficult way to say goodbye and maybe not to ever see these people again. That really did. They gave everything there to make my time most comfortable as possible.
Where did you live when you were out there?
So I went there for the races, but most of the time I tried to spend around 10 days just to get used with the jet lag, with the country, spend time with the team. So I didn't have, I was always staying in hotels, which sometimes can be pretty funny because in Japan they don't have the same hotel than we have. You can have like really small one, everything compacted all together. They have a strange way to strange pillows. I don't know if you have ever tried.
Oh, the bead pillows.
Exactly.
They're so, not pillows, man.
Those so are you've not got pillows. One soft side and yes. Another side with like full of bills inside. So
if I could tell you the number of nights I've spent in Japan putting the bead pillow to one side and yeah. Folding up all my dirty shirts and using those as a pillow.
Yeah, I ended up doing the same thing. But it's a lot of different things, you know. The funny one is the toilet is so low, for example, because Japanese people are quite short usually, so the side of the toilets is different and it's all electronics. You have like tons of buttons on the side. And most of the time I had the feet out of the bed because same, the side of the beds are much smaller than
you're not that tall either.
And I'm not that tall. So no, honestly, it was a lot of different things. But yeah, I really enjoyed it because you are so far from everything, you know. I was disconnected from this European environment, and I think I've learned a lot and so grown up a lot as a person, which was for me I think great just for myself.
What did you do? Tell me what you do of an evening when you were racing at Fuji. What's the name of what's the name of the town near Fuji? I can't remember where we used to stay there for the Grand Prix, but there's not much around there.
Exactly. So yeah, I had my trainer there, and either I will stay with the team with my translator and just I had an amazing Japanese translator who traveled a bit around the world and went in America, in Europe, and Japan. And it was a key person there. It just made my time there so much better. Just enjoy the evenings with him, my trainer, a couple of other drivers. They were André Lotterer, who were there at the same time, Nick Cassidy and Martin Boos. Just try to hang out a bit with these people. And honestly, the funny thing in Japan is wherever you go, you're always surprised in a good way. So it was just about discovering the country, taking the car, drive for 20 minutes somewhere and end up in a village which look really strange, and then go in the first restaurant and finally you find out that the food is just amazing wherever you go. So it was just about discovering the country and try to enjoy as much as I could.
You strike me as a cup half full kind of guy. Is that a fair assessment? What? There's a positivity about you that isn't the case with every driver in Formula One, certainly.
I'm quite I always look at things in a positive way and always try to in a way turn the negative thing in positive energy, because I'm someone who like to enjoy life, and I'm pretty easygoing. I have really strong motivation, and I think for me in my mind it's really clear what I want to achieve, and that's why I always try to turn all the things around me into positive energy, to give me even more motivation, dedication to achieve what I want.
So. You remind me of Daniel Ricciardo in many ways. That's a compliment. He's fun.
Probably my smile is not as big as his one, but
just your outlook is quite similar. So you've come a long way from Rouen.
Yeah.
Now,
listeners
of this podcast who know their history of Formula One will know that there were five Grand Prix, French Grand Prix, at Rouen between 1952 and 68, I think. Go on, how many times did you drive that Rouen track in your youth?
Hey, so the thing is now it's closed, and there's one part of the track where you can't go anymore. And I passed it many times because there is an highway right next to this track. So most of the time I was with my dad, and he used to tell me stories about this track, and that he had the chance to drive there with some Ferraris in the past, and it was a proper man track, because it was one of the most dangerous. There were unfortunately many accidents, but you really had to have, as we could say, big balls to be fast on that track, like in the old school track. So actually I did drive there recently that year. Someone wanted to make a documentary about that track, Juan Les Essarts. And he took me there with a car. We managed to open all the roads, not all of them, but a part of the track, and just to go through these really fast chicanes. I don't know if you remember the layout, but you had like downhill.
There was a very steep climb at one point. Super fast.
Yeah, super fast. And there was also like a massive downhill, really fast chicanes, and just unbelievable to imagine that guys were going at that time with was like basically literally bomb on four wheels, because as soon as they will crash, the car will explode. And just to imagine that they were going there, I don't know, 250 down this airplane. When I drove on there, I was just massively impressed. And I had the chance to try it in the simulator as well, but of course it's different. But just give you an idea of
Red Bull simulator. What simulator is it?
It was just a simulator.
Thing you had at home or something.
Exactly, Air Factor simulation. But just it gave me a good idea of the track layout, and just to imagine. I saw some footage from the past. Unfortunately, we lost really famous French driver there, it's a pretty big shame that they didn't manage to keep the track open, because like a lot of people pushed hard to keep it open even without racing, but just to have it available in case you want to just enjoy like the Nürburgring, for example. But they didn't manage to do it in the end.
So Rouen, okay, there is a link to motor racing there, but are you from a racing family? Is that fair? Just tell us a little bit about where this passion for driving came from. Mum, dad?
Clearly it's in my DNA, because my grandfather used to race in karting. I was a massive fan of fast cars. And fast driving as well, when at the time it was still possible to go fast on the roads. I didn't have the chance to know him. But I knew my grandmother, who was a go-kart champion as well. So that's pretty...
And was grandfather a champion as well? So they were both champions.
So yeah, he probably won a couple of races. I don't know if he wasn't like a super high level, but he just loved racing in general. But my grandmother became like karting champion, regional champion at the time. And of course, my father is a massive fan of motorsport. He used to race in karting. He did some rally as well, some endurance races, was French champion.
Your dad did?
Yeah, my dad, yeah. So only like national level, but was a fast driver. And he did some rally stages for a couple of years. And it just stopped after I'm born. He had a pretty big crash on the stage, but his co-pilot turned two page at the same time and just told him flat out left in fifth gear, and was actually an airplane in second, and was a mountain stage. So a pretty big crash. Luckily was alive in the end and was safe, but it was the point he decided to stop racing. And I have a pretty big family with four brothers, all older, and three of them raced in karting. So since I'm really little, 2 years old, my mom used to bring me to the track to support all my brothers, and I wanted to try, of course.
You've got four brothers. how did mum and dad have time for you? I've got three children and they just dominate. So, I can't imagine they are having like, two
they're,
more.
I call them brothers because for myself, it is my family. They are both all four stepbrothers, two from my mom and two from my dad. And they made me a bit later. So my younger brother is 9 years older than me. So there's a little gap, which I think was really positive for myself because when I grew up, they were much older than me and it kind of built my mental character, I will say. And you know, it was really positive because they showed me all the mistakes that I should avoid in my life. So it's been fantastic and we all have a fantastic relationship all together. So.
Yeah, not only that, but there is a statistic and it's something that the percentage...
The last one is always the best one.
Yes. No, but this is true. This is exact. I've had this conversation with Jensen Button because the youngest child, you start doing things at a much earlier age than your older siblings because they play with you in the garden and do whatever else. And therefore, you just develop faster. And
yeah, that's how I saw them as well. Like, of course, as a little brother, you look up a lot to your older ones and you look at what they do. And at that time, I mean, since I'm 2 years old, three of them raced in karting and I loved it. I wanted to do mechanic on the kart and I wanted to help them to be fast and to be successful. And then after, just in general, in the life, I always looked up at my brothers and really, really in a proud way. And they taught me a lot. So we had a lot of fights because they didn't want to play with me Mario Kart because they always used to beat them.
I'm going to say, you must have been a really annoying younger brother. Right?
I always, but since really little, I always had this really competitive mindset. And whatever thing I do, I always want to win it. If I do it, it's to be the best. And I always want to play with them, but they got fed up at some point that I always took things so in a competitive way. And as soon as I started to beat them, they just got upset. But no, it was really funny. I really enjoyed my time. And they were also really good support for myself when I started karting, single-seater, and also now at the level I am because they are a big fan of racing and they know what it's all about, you know, about the work, the passion. And they really supported me since my beginning. I started in karting, so...
Do they come to races now?
They come now, so of course it's difficult because they all have a job. So I think we
are any get of them all involved together. In racing?
Not no. anymore. No. So they understood that at some point they were not made to be professional race car driver. They still drive carts pretty fast, but no, they all have a job. And no, actually, it's great. I had them all in for the first time all together in a race for my title in GP2. When I got the GP2 championship and then after they came actually all together in Abu Dhabi as well last year. So now we do spend a lot of good times together, but then of course, I mean, with different commitments for all of them, it's difficult to just bring them all at the same time. But yeah, they do come sometimes.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
What else are you good at? Because, I mean, I've heard football and... Or was it always racing for you or was there other options as well?
Yeah, actually, I've been always a big, big fan of sport in general. And I started with ice hockey when I was 3 years old. I did it for 2 years. Then I don't know, I had a bit of a fight with my, at the time, the trainer. I wasn't a big fan of the trainer. And then I felt like, yeah, it wasn't really my thing, so... I stopped at 5, I started football and yeah, just loved it so much. I'm still a massive, massive fan of football and I did play from 5 till 11 years old. So I started my first time in go-kart at 6. And then after I just kept going, doing both of them at the same time. And yeah, I love them both, but I just felt the first time I jumped in a go-kart, I say, okay, that's... that's what I want to do in my life. That's racing, driving. I just loved it so much, and played football. I was in the first team in my club, in the place I live. And one weekend, because I missed all the training to go karting, which was my favorite thing. I came on Sunday to the game, and they told me, "Okay, Pierre, you missed too many practice training. So we're gonna put you in the B team this weekend." And I say, "Guys, you know what? It's my time to stop. I cannot do the both things at the top. And I need to make a decision." And I say, "Okay, just want to focus on racing now and just give my best and make sure I put all my chances on my side."
So what position at football were you?
So I was on the midfield, on the right side.
Running?
Exactly, running a lot. So actually, which was fantastic because it built me a good physical condition. Mm. I was running for the attack, coming back for the defense. So I think it was really good as well. Also the spirit, you know, it's a team spirit, team sport, and just know how to play with the others and really real good relationship with all the other players. So in some ways it's similar to F1, because in F1 it's not individual sport, it's much more team sport than people could think. And I think in the end was a really positive experience.
So at what point then did you meet Esteban Ocon? So because I've read that you were mates and you did loads together.
Honestly, the story with Esteban is so long, like could speak about it for hours. But so basically it started that his father bought the cart of one of my brother for Esteban. We had one chassis at home that he bought, and that's how they first met. Then I started karting with the same engine preparator than he had at the time. So started to go karting, and then we started to go on the same track.
So you live near each other then?
Yeah, like 30 minutes away from each other. And we used to train on the same track, and we used to, of course, we were 7 at the time, and of course we used to spend so much time together, train to the same track, going on weekends together. We used to come at home many times, and same for myself. We went to his place. I even remember times that in the winter there were nobody coming to our racetrack, which was Anville-en-Bourville, 30 minutes from where I live. We were the only one there, snowing like hell, and we were going for like 3-4 laps, coming back when our hands were completely freezing, and going in the truck, back of the truck with the heater just to get warm for 15 minutes, and then after going back on track for 5 other laps with the slick tires on, and just driving on the snow. And honestly, we did spend like some fantastic time together. And
like I think brothers, or
yeah, almost like brothers, because honestly, you know, at the time when you are young, you just need to drive all the time. So we used to go on Wednesday, on Saturday, on Sunday, and all the time together. And I think in the end it was really good because it really pushed us massively. You know, we both have a really competitive mindset, and we of course we were really friends at the time, and we really wanted to beat each other. So I think it was the best thing which could have happened to us, to really push us and give us all the energy to try to beat each other. And in the end it raised our level.
So how's the relationship now you're both in Formula One? I mean, I've heard a few radio messages from both of you this year. And hey, what did you say after lap one at the French Grand Prix this year when you crashed into each other?
I don't know, but it was massive disappointment. And of course, it was a terrible moment in France. I mean, the relationship unfortunately got a lot worse at some point in karting, where when we started to fight for the World Cup, European Championship, and also National Championship. And I really remember one weekend, the World Cup in 2010 in Portugal, that he literally cut the track, one corner, cut in the grass, and hit me in the last heat before the pre-final, because I was going to start, I think, second or third. And thing didn't really like it and just pushed me off the track, spun me, and we finished it, I don't know, 20s and 21 or something like this. So I had to start the pre-final much more on the back than I was supposed to. And then just at that time we were probably used to focus a lot on myself. We used to not go training together anymore. And then it was actually wasn't the first time when it started to go a bit worse. It was a Bridgestone Cup in 2009, actually. One race in Mer that started last in final. My engine didn't start in pre-final. And I overtook him in the last corner of the last lap for the third position. And we had a bit of a contact, a little contact, and finished third, finished fourth. And from that race started to go bad. And then after the years went on, we found each other in Formula Renault 2 liters. We had many battles, started the first race bouncing each other, touching wheels and with smoking wheels all the race. And it was just a big fight, but I tried to, on my side, I tried to keep the relationship as good as I could. I came to see him a couple of times to say, okay, like just stop these stupid things we are doing, and now we are in European Championship or even World Championship in other different series, and just do your thing. I do my thing. We are, at the time it was with Gravity as well, with the Renault program. I was with Red Bull, and say it's better to focus both on our own careers and try to make the best out of it. And I think it wasn't really, never really showed me he wanted to keep the relationship in a good way. So after that, we stopped.
Do you talk?
Yeah, I mean, we can't speak, but everything out of racing, I think so.
Does it make you a bit sad that
I think
you've someone you've known all your life, you can't separate the job and the
friendship? The thing is, I'm trying to make the story a long story, short story, and there are many things that happen as well that I didn't really like. I respect all the people that respect me, and the day you don't respect me, then I lose all my respect for you as well. So that's a bit how it works, and I've been disappointed more than once. So after this point, many times I was waiting apologies from his side and never really came. So at some point I said, okay, then there is not much I can do. Just focus on myself, and I let him do what he wants. I think in the end we really respect each other as a driver. We spend some amazing time together, talking like if it was my girlfriend, but no, I mean, we did spend some great time together when we were young, and I think in the end it was a positive thing that the thing happened to us, because it really pushed us so much harder to beat each other. And in the end, it's quite funny to see both of us now in Formula One, looking at where we started, and with our truck, not much money, going to take the tires at the back of the garage from all the guys, and just to see the way we grew up and where we are now is just fantastic. So I think we really respect each other as a driver, but unfortunately there is not this link that we had in the past, which was much more friendly.
Does it feel odd that you're going into one of the big three next year and he probably won't have a drive in Formula One?
Since I'm 7 years old, I've always fought with him, and I'm sure I'm going to keep fighting with him in the next few years. So, I think for sure, yes, I think F1 is pretty tough. There's a lot of things you need to put together to get your chance, and many things are out of your hands as a driver, and this is pretty tough sometimes. So I think he's in one of these situations that he's doing his job, and things out of his control are not really going his way. I'm pretty sure that he'll keep pushing, and we'll see him back on the grids pretty soon. And I'm sure we'll keep having some good fights. And actually, I enjoy it in a way. You know, it's great, and you know, we have a good rivalry. And yeah, as long as we keep it clean, even if it's difficult sometimes, it's the most important.
That's one friendship that racing has turned a bit sour. Yeah. Do you worry that the same thing might happen between you and Max, for example, next year?
Honestly, I didn't really think about it. And as I said earlier, you know, the main point is respect. And I think as long as you respect each other, nothing can happen. And that's the way I see things. You know, I'm really usually friendly, and have many friends like to get me into a fight with someone means really that the person needs to do something disrespectful. And no, I think with Max at the moment we have a strong relationship, respect between each other, and I'm sure that as long as we keep it clean, things will go well. But yeah, I really hope we can keep that friendship that we have now.
Do you worry a little bit that you're walking into his team next year?
People tend to say this, but I've stopped listening to what people say.
I'm not saying asking the question.
Yeah, but yeah. I know that you are asking the question, but people, that's what people tend to say. And it could be true in a way. You know, he's got more experience than me with Red Bull, but I do think that as a driver, it's your job as well to make your position inside the team. And with your character, showing your ambitions, what you want, and that will be my job to make my my position there. So of course it's not easy. He's a character. He's got a lot of support from his management, and he's really talented guy. So
by his management, do you mean Helmut, Marco?
Not really Helmut, but you know, he has a manager. He has his dad who was involved in Formula One, and I come from like a really different family. I'm the happiest son or kid, and I'm really proud of my family. But you know, like, my father wasn't a Formula One driver. I don't have any manager. I came with a lot of support from the federation, and I was lucky enough to have people around me who were really like positive, and a lot of people who helped me to make my way through. But at the end of the day, I don't have any manager or people alongside me to make things moving. You know, I need to make things moving by myself, and which is in a way I think a strength, because I've learned a lot from that position, and it also gave me a lot more mental strength. But yeah, Max have some strong people around him that really take care, good care of him, and I think for him, his father has been a really good help, good support. And Raymond, his manager, also probably made the things a bit easier with the experience he had with yours.
Of course, they worked together, didn't they? Back in the day, they worked together for years.
Which is a pretty amazing story as well. So.
Yeah.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances, and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry! These July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Well, look, we talked about Esteban, we've talked about Max, just driver's parade, typical driver's parade. You're on the bus. Who do you chat to? Have you, you know, you've only been in here a year. We're kind of back where we started, but have you made any mates on the grid? Is it possible to have mates? It seems quite difficult when you talk about Ocon.
I mean, no, I mean, Esteban is really, unfortunately, the only one where we didn't manage to keep the friendship last, and that's a shame. But honestly, with all the other drivers, mega relationship, I get on pretty well with everyone. I mean, of course, Red Bull driver Daniel, who is impossible not to like, and yeah, just amazing guy. Max Stoffel, also Seb, I get on really well with Seb, and it's been a good help for me as well after my GP2 title.
Seb Vettel, how did he help you after GP2?
So I just went to see him after GP2, because of course I was it was pretty difficult, you know, for me winning GP2 championship. and not getting the chance straight in Formula One and being at the wrong good place but wrong time. I just went to see him to see, okay, what do you think about my situation and how do you see things and what kind of advice you could give me, you know? And we sat down together, I remember, in Mexico after the driver's briefing, and I just just super friendly and super nice from himself, just to tell me his experience with Red Bull and what he thinks, what I should do, and the sort of that advice that a world champion could give to a younger driver. And
did he suggest still now, Super Formula, or was it?
Yeah, he told me it was a great chance to go abroad. And he was sure that, just told me, like, you just need to keep pushing and show them that you don't give up, because, you know, they keep testing you. Red Bull is a program where they keep testing you every day to see how strong you are mentally.
Even now you're in Formula One, they're like that, do you feel?
Yeah, they're, of course, less in Formula One, but they kind of always test you, you know, and Helmut is like this, and it's sort of his game as well, so once you get it, you know to handle things. But that's a bit the way that they are with the drivers. And honestly, was great to catch up with him. And even now with the position I'm in, and I'm gonna be, we spoke with Seb a bit, and for me it's really at the end of the day is one of my my idol, I could say, even if it sounds a bit strange, but someone that I looked at when I was younger in karting. And and Evan, it's great to be Formula One with him now, and we're going to fight next year. But it's really someone that I respect a lot, and that is impressive as a person. I think he's really smart and really simple, humble as well. And for me, I really enjoy to catch up with this kind of guy and always learn things from their experience. Yeah, same with Lewis. Of course, it's a bit more difficult to catch up during the weekend. But yeah, we did see a couple of times out of the track. And same, like, just the kind of tips this legend of Formula One can give you are always useful. And then after, the people more from my generation, so Stoffel, Charles, we know since more or less the same age as Esteban, 7 years old. So all these guys that we tend to catch up a lot during the race week.
Do you feel a responsibility being, you know, a French driver in a top team now? Do you feel France hasn't had a world champion for a while?
We've been world champion this year, though, in soccer. So
that's true.
But for sure, there's
scraping the barrel a bit, but it's true.
But for sure. Actually, we were speaking with Helmut the other day, and just remembered that the last win from a French driver was in '96. So from Panis in Monaco, so,
and that was a fluke. Let's face it.
he still won it. So in the book, he's still there. But it's been 22 years, and even if France in general has been so much involved in Formula One, we didn't really have driver. I think Romain Grosjean was pretty close a couple of times at the time he was in Lotus, but it's been so many years that we didn't hear the French anthem on the during a race weekend, so in Formula One. So hopefully, you know, that's my target. Of course, if I'm in Formula One, as I say, I really know what I want to achieve in F1, and if I do this, it's to be world champion one day, and I'll do everything I can and put all my energy into this target, because that's something I've said to myself when I was young. I said, I want to be world champion in Formula One, and I'm quite stubborn, and when I have something in mind, I just do everything I can until I make it happen. So I will do everything I can.
Alain Prost,
a legend.
He's a legend, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's following his
legend
footsteps.
And the greatest, or one of the greatest F1 driver of all time. I think he's been so successful, and just the guy itself is unbelievable. So I had the chance to catch up with him a couple of times, and just the way he is shows you the legend he is. So of course, as a French driver, he's one of my idol, and it just stays so simple. You know, you see him in the paddock and you can just stop him and speak with him 5 minutes, and he's really open, and a great advisor as well. And actually he's helped me quite a lot over the last 2 years. I used to phone him as well. I like to take experience and listen advices from more experienced guys or drivers. And as he was in Renault, we did call each other a couple of times. So at the time when I wasn't in F1, just so was letting me know a bit of the F1 market. And Renault was with Toro Rosso, and just to try to help me with my situation in a really really friendly way. And I wasn't obliged to do it, you know. It was with Renault, I was with Red Bull, and it's been just really helpful and really supportive in a way as well. So been pretty lucky, and it's pretty impressive person.
It seems to me you don't need a manager because you're doing it all very well. There's one thing though. Whenever it comes to talking about money and trying to screw that last whatever it is out of a team, out of a sponsor, good cop, bad cop, right? You want to be the good cop, don't you? Exactly. You need a guy to go in and be the bad cop. Who does that?
Myself.
You still have to do it.
So no, but it's great life experience as well, because I learn a lot of things from these kind of situations. And of course sometimes it's a bit difficult because my position is a driver position, and it's to focus on the track and you know, just to drive fast, and then after the manager should do everything for yourself. But I have sort of both status, and it's I would say some people will say it's not ideal, some others will say it's better because I have a straight link with the people and my bosses in a way. So you know, if Helmut is not happy or wants to tell me something, he tells it to me straight away. And in the other way, I'm really straightforward with him now as well, but I think I'm quite a fair guy, objective as well. And in a way, I'm pretty sure he liked it as well, that there have never been any sort of people in between us, and things have always been really clear between us. So that's the way it is. Of course, it's not easy when you need to start talking about figures, but the best thing I can do is just to show my potential on track, and then things get easier to manage off track.
Well, Gerhard Berger, he never had a manager, and he always says he
probably earn more money. Like,
yeah, exactly. You haven't got to give any of it away, have you? Well, Pierre, thank you for your time. It's been fabulous to catch up and just to learn some of your story. It's an amazing story.
Really, thanks to you as well.
And great chat. Good luck with it all.
Thank you very much.
Catch up again soon.
Thanks.
Cheers.
What a brilliant chat with Pierre, who turned 27 yesterday. Happy birthday. We definitely need to invite him back onto the show for a catch-up this season to hear about his years at Red Bull, his return to the junior team, and his incredible first F1 victory. We're now a third of the way through 30 days of Beyond the Grid. If you've enjoyed what you've heard so far, please leave us a rating or a review and follow us on your podcast app, ready for our new season. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your day. Talk to you tomorrow.